Dr. Carpenter, thank you so much for joining us today at Galesburg in Focus.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Let's jump right into it. When you think about Men's Health Month, what's the biggest message that you hope men hear?
You know, I think if they were to take nothing else away, just that it matters, that really their health is going to be central to the quality of life that they're leading and their relationships, and that this is just time to pause and sort of take stock of where you're at and add in any corrective actions that you may find
right.
that you need.
It's you know, there's, I guess maybe we ask, why should we dedicate an entire month to men's health awareness?
Yeah, it's you know, to me, it's just the lifestyle that most of us Americans are leading these days. It's really a grind. And you know, I can tell you from my perspective, I got a couple of young kids. We're doing some baseball games and we're busy every day of the week, right? Yeah. And so I think by taking a month, it's a reminder to pause, take stock of where you're at, and sort of juxtapose that with where you want to go. And it gives you that time to sort of come up with that game plan of how you're going to get there.
Right. Well, you know, men face some pretty unique health challenges. And, we have shorter life expectancies than women, right?
And we do.
But even because of that, we're still less likely to seek preventative care. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's a really interesting conundrum. And I think a lot of that has to do with just the culture around masculinity and this idea that we can kind of go it alone and we're going to figure it out. And so even if we recognize that something may be wrong or, you know, the engine isn't really like you hear that little clicking of the engine and things aren't running quite where they should be. We're still kind of hesitant. We just kind of figure we can just grind through it and kind of get better.
Well, unfortunately, you know, we kind of smile about, well, it's just men being men, you know. But unfortunately, those small problems can lead to much bigger and more serious issues if they're let, you know, to go too long, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's really one of the big keys with this month, I think, is just saying, hey, you know, let's take a look under the hood real quick and let's just make sure that everything's humming where it needs to be. Let's look at our relationships and let's maybe pause and check in to those that are close to us in our life to say, hey, you know, is everything good? Am I seeing everything as good or, you know, is there something that we could take a look at here?
So are you saying, you know, check in with the men in your life, right?
Absolutely. And it's something that I think, you know, when you look at in the news and you look at some of the studies that are coming out, it's happening less and less. The more it's really, there's this weird paradox where as technology gives us more ways to reach out, we actually become more isolated because of the vectors that we're using. And so, you know, in days of old, 30, 40 years ago, it was men sitting down at the coffee shop sharing a cup of coffee, you know, maybe to start their day or doing something along those lines. Whereas these days, you're making your own coffee at home, you're sitting down and you're getting on Instagram, right? Or you're getting on Facebook. And and that's the way that we're communicating with each other.
Yeah. And you mentioned this, I'll wait it out kind of attitude. Do you see this in your own practice?
You know, I see this, this shows up in a multitude of ways. And this, you know, as working as a hospitalist, I obviously see where this goes wrong, where maybe there's something that's gone on for a couple of weeks where, you know, I was intermittently getting short of breath and I didn't really know what the problem was. And then by the time they show up, you know, we're looking at maybe a heart attack or a pneumonia that's gotten much worse. But this can rear its head even, you know, when we talk about mental health, oftentimes what happens is we start treating this on our own. So the human brain, and this is true for everybody, right? So we start developing maladaptive behaviors to kind of deal with whatever it is that's bothering us. And this, it's true for me, it's true for anyone that's listening. And so what I oftentimes have seen, especially through my military role, is that typically we've gone far enough down the path where we're actually dealing with legal problems, maybe a DUI, maybe we're dealing with a divorce. And that's how this kind of has manifested itself. And when you backtrack it, you can kind of track it back years, where this was where the first sign of the problem was. This was where the carburetor was getting gummed up. But it wasn't recognized, or we just didn't deal with it in the right way. And once you go down this path, obviously you've turned a molehill into a mountain.
Yeah. I mean, how often should a man of a certain age be talking to his healthcare provider?
It all depends. So, you know, if there's someone out there that's young and listening, maybe you're in your 30s, that's when I, you know, typically would recommend checking in and, just making sure that your lipids are right, making sure your blood pressure is where it needs to be, checking in and just, you know, being honest. It's a time for you to be honest with someone about, are your relationships where you need to be? Is there anything that you're noticing that, you know, maybe out of whack? That's a great time to talk about it. As we get into our 40s, which now I am, now we're starting to talk about some cancer screenings, right?
Yeah.
So the lipid profiles and those things are still as important as they ever were, because the coronary artery disease is the number one killer, right? Heart disease is the number one killer, but we're starting to see cancers and those sorts of things creep up on us. And so we want to make sure that we're staying up on that. With regards to just a screening, you know, I think as we get older, maybe once a year is okay. Yeah. But as some of the we accumulate some tread on the tires, right, to stay with the automobile reference, as you start developing some of the hypertension, the high blood pressure, or the cholesterol issues, you know, that's when you want to start adding in another visit a year, just to make sure that you've got time to cover everything, and as something's coming up that you're able to address that as well. Yeah.
Dr. Josh Carpenter is the managing medical director for St. Mary Medical Center and Holy Family Medical Center over in Monmouth. We're going to take a pause for just a second and talk about you. Are you from around this area, Dr. Carpenter?
Yeah, so I'm a local boy. I was born and raised here. I always joke that I was one of the first ones in the building because I was born on the second floor at the time. OB's since moved up to the third floor, but I'm a local boy, GHS grad.
Nice. Did you always want to be a doctor?
No, actually, when I first went to college, I was I went to college for legal studies. I was going to be a lawyer.
Okay.
And had a influence. One of my professors sort of influenced me, and then I came home, and my mom was a special ed teacher here in this area, and so there was a little bit of time between college and when the high school was out, and so I went sub-8 in the room, and I really enjoyed just working with people, and that's really what sort of shaped my future. I had a transfer and a change of major, and next thing you know, I'm off to med school.
Now, you had mentioned military service. You were in the military?
So I'm a guardsman over in Peoria for about 27 years now.
Wow. Well, thank you for your service.
Oh, my pleasure. So I enlisted initially in 1999. I was still in high school at the time, and I was what they call a satellite wideband telemetry systems technician, and then no activations. Then just went through the training. Interestingly enough, that was during if you remember like 9/11, there was a lot of contractor work that was being done, and
yes.
So most of the guys that I had trained with actually and were in my unit, they would take maybe a year sabbatical and they would go as a contractor. Mm-hmm. But then. Following acceptance into medical school, I converted over to the medical corps, and I've been there ever since. I'm currently serving as the chief of aerospace medicine over there. I've got a couple of combat deployments with the 169th over there to the Middle East.
Right. Well, I remember the last time that you and I had talked. We did talk about the fact that you've got kind of a passion for this for men's health, and a lot of that has to do with your military service, and you see that all the time, right?
I do. Yeah. It's one of those things, and you know, I think to everyone that's listening out there that's got that military experience, I think that they can kind of tell you is that no matter what the job is, it's kind of like the Marines, right? So everyone's a rifleman. No matter what your job is, your job for that day is to complete that mission that day. And that's that mentality that I think a lot of men bring with them.
Yeah. But don't you have to have that kind of attitude when you're in the military? You got to get it done. You got to push through no matter what. And that's just kind of how you're trained, right?
You do. But what I've got to tell you is that the people that I saw that did it the best, and these are typically like your like the joint SOC, the special forces guys, what they were better at and what I learned from them was the ability to use their resources. So they may not have the answer, but they did know who did, and they knew how to best utilize them to get done what they needed to get done as soon as possible.
Right. And they probably also knew to take care of themselves. You can't help your buddy if you're not healthy, right? If you're not doing well. So
it's a constant, yes. So that is a constant focus. And to that point, you know, one of the things that they treat or teach is, you know, if you're wounded, say you and your buddy both get wounded, your first job is to get your own wound cared for.
Yeah.
So then you can care for your buddy.
Right.
Because if you don't get your own wound cared for, now we've got two problems that someone else is going to have to fix, right?
So
not just
we transfer that to what we're talking about, men's health and your family, your job, your friends. You can't be much of a help to them if you're not taking care of yourself, correct? That's right.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And it's one of those things that if we can catch it, the earlier that we can catch it, the easier that's going to be, and the problem's going to be so small that, you know, it'll be insignificant.
Dr. Josh Carpenter is our guest here on Galesburg in Focus. We're having a web chat with him. He's the managing medical director for OSF Healthcare St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg and Holy Family Medical Center in Monmouth. We're talking about Men's Health Month. And as we get back into some of the health concerns that should be on every man's radar, what would you say are some of the biggest health risks facing men today?
Yeah, so as we kind of alluded to before, you know, I think the biggest health risk is still heart disease.
Yeah.
That's the number one killer in the United States. When you start talking about malignancies, you're talking prostate cancer, lung cancer, and colorectal cancers, which are massively on the rise in this country.
Yeah.
Diabetes is probably the biggest metabolic concern, and it leads to problems in all different kinds of ways. It leads into that heart disease, causes pain, causes kidney problems. It can affect you in so many different ways. And then the mental health, I think, is something that we rarely talk about, but it's such a huge part of our day-to-day life and the way that we're interacting with each other.
Yeah. Let's go back to heart disease. Affects nearly every family in some way. What should men know about protecting their heart health?
You know, I think the number one thing that I would want a man to know is, one, obviously the importance of it, just that this is going to be the most likely cause of you leaving this world with us. And then that even if that's true, right, there's things that we can do to impact this.
Yeah.
So there are medicines that you can take to lower lipids. There are lifestyle changes that you can make. And even if you've gone down a pathway where maybe there's some damage that's been done, that heart is still a muscle and it can still be trained. And so there's something that we can continue to do, even if we have, you know, had a blip in the pathway there.
Yeah. And of course, you know, avoid tobacco, eating better, all of those things, lifestyle changes, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm 56. I had a heart attack in 2019 around this time of year. I was on North Henderson Street driving in my truck. Felt like it was, you know, when you get like you swallow something wrong and it feels like it's stuck there. That's what I was feeling.
Squeezing, right?
Yeah. And I was coughing. I was like trying to get it. And I was going to a client appointment. And so I went to the appointment. I'm sitting there in the meeting and I kept doing this. And finally I said, I'm sorry, I have to leave. So I got in my truck and I'm driving to St. Mary's. But something in my man brain went, what if this is just heartburn? And I just spend thousands of dollars and feel like an idiot when they tell me, you know, this is only heartburn, right? So I was at the corner of Carl Sandburg Drive and Broad Street. I could go straight, and I would go to St. Mary's, go to the ER. That's where I was going. But something clicked. I turned right, went to Walgreens, bought some Pepto-Bismol, and went home and laid down. My doctor told me, you can't imagine how lucky you are, because I ended up having two stents put in a week later. That I'm sure that happens more than we can even mention, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's really interesting. And I'm going to have to kind of take a step away in the literature to talk about women, because this was a study that was done with women, but this is a human condition, right? So they did this study, and this is probably, oh man, I'm going to start dating myself. We're probably 10 to 15 years old now with this study.
Yeah.
But when it came out, it really impacted the way that I sort of view patient care. And what had happened was they interviewed a bunch of women who had shown up in the ED for chest pain. And what they found was that women were relieved to learn that they were having a heart attack. So essentially they wanted the worst outcome, because then they weren't bothering anyone.
Oh my gosh.
And wow. And this is true of everyone.
Yeah.
And I bring this up to you, and when I talk about this with my patients at the bedside, what I basically tell them is, listen, I've been through the training to be a doc, and it's at times grueling, right? So we'll do 80, 90, 100-hour weeks in residency, and we're doing our best to learn the craft, right, every day. Yeah. And this is true even more so for the cardiologist, right? So the day that you were driving to the ED, you had an ED doc that had dedicated his life to figuring out if you were having a heart attack. There was a cardiologist that was standing by that dedicated his life to make sure that you were going to be here for this interview today, right? Wow. That's why they show up every day and do what they do. And so by sort of saying, well, I don't want to waste anybody's time. Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. And don't get me wrong, healthcare these days, everyone is very, very busy. But the reality of this is that this is a dedication for us. Mm. And you're robbing us of that chance to kind of show you what we've put into it.
Wow. Duly noted, Dr. Carpenter. I appreciate that.
It's the other way of looking at it, right? It's like you've got these people, you know what I mean? You're not a bother. These people have dedicated their lives to this. And I'm so grateful that I'm surrounded by people who do take that mentality.
Absolutely. Dr. Josh Carpenter is the managing medical director for OSF Healthcare St. Mary Medical Center and Holy Family Medical Center over in Monmouth. June is Men's Health Month, and we're talking about some of those issues. Back to the heart disease. What are some of the warning signs that men should be looking for? Well, anyone should be looking for, but we're talking about men's health. So what are some of those warning signs?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the big things that I would say, and this is something that I'm always telling anyone that's listening to me, make sure you're revving the engine, right? So make sure that you're getting at least a moderate level of activity and monitor where you're at with it. If you get a sudden change, that's probably your first sign that there may be something wrong. And so I can tell you that my father-in-law ended up with a cardiac stent as well. And what had happened was we have stairs in our backyard, about 100 steps coming up.
Okay.
And he realized that all of a sudden he'd made the trip before, but all of a sudden he only made it about halfway. Ooh. And so that was time for him to go check with the cardiologist. And later that week, he ended up with a stent. Now, it's not a heart attack, but that's your first sign that, you know, something isn't quite right.
Well, I can say I was also diagnosed with diabetes. I was 320 a year ago. I've been taking Moonjara now for the last year. Since February of last year, I've lost 122 pounds.
Good for you.
I just had a stress test a month ago, and they said, the cardiologist said that it's almost like I you can't tell that I had a heart issue other than having the stents. And yep. So it can be reversed. Changing your lifestyle, I eat clean, I exercise daily. It really can. It's a crazy lifestyle change, but it can reverse things.
Yeah. And, you know, if I can interview you for just a second, how do you feel today versus it was 6 years ago?
Dr. Carpenter, I'm telling you, I will tell you, 56 this year, I have never been in better health than I am right now. I've never been more physically fit. I've never felt better. I really have. I am in the best shape of my life. And it was, but I can probably never get life insurance again. But but I'm alive.
You never know with where you're at today.
That's right. But I feel great. I really do. And I have a much better outlook, more confidence, and all that. So, men, it can happen. You can make that change. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's it. There's a lot there that you went through to unpack. But the one thing that I think is worth highlighting the most is just I think I'm talking more to people my age at this point. And it is, what is the goal? And you touched on something that I kind of wanted to expound on a little in my own life. And that is, so my father's getting up there, and he's older than you are. He's 82. But I've got young kids. My daughter's 3 and my son's 8. And I've got to tell you that, you know, there's the old joke that, you know, you have a kid and your parents are like, oh, well, having grandkids made having kids worth it. Right.
Yeah.
in a lot of ways, that's true. But the flip side of that is that I've got to tell you, from being the son, it is such a joy to watch my father be a grandfather. And you know, it's something that I think that you don't think about when you're my age, but what is it that you're going to want in life when you've got a 3-year-old grandchild? And that's going to be, you're going to want to be able to pick that kid up. You're going to want to be able to hug them. You're going to want to be able to play with them, take them to the park and try to keep up with them. And at 82, my dad's doing that.
That's great.
You know what I mean? And that's, to me, that's joy. And you know, there's a lot of, it can be really difficult to think about what health really means. But to me, that's how you quantify health, is like when you get to retirement age and think about you 6 years ago, right? So maybe you want to go travel somewhere. What can you do today that you weren't able to do 6 years ago? Oh. And that's what I want for everyone that's listening. You know what I mean? I want them to think about life in that way, to where they really can quantify what their goals are with healthcare and bring that with them to the doc.
Absolutely. Wow. Such great, boy, you got a lot of great takeaways here, Dr. Carpenter. You are really giving us a lot to take with us today. Dr. Josh Carpenter is a managing medical director for OSF Healthcare St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg and Holy Family Medical Center in Monmouth. June is Men's Health Month. And a lot of, especially guys, I know I did. I got nervous when I was approaching 40 because I thought that I was going to have to do that whole prostate exam thing. And then you got the colonoscopy, and it's all these things are pointing to the backside.
Right.
And I thought, oh, my gosh, I don't want to get old. What was
you found out why the robe opens in the back.
That's right. I tell you, it was like, oh, man, here it comes. What would you tell someone who's hesitant for these screenings?
You know, the big thing with this, and it's impacted my own life as well. If you can catch these things early, these are very small problems. When we catch these things late, that's when it really has a huge impact in your life. You're talking about a big decrease in the quality. You're talking about the potential of a lower lifespan. You know, it's not just lifespan, health span, right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where the onus is. With regards to the prostate, we've got, as a matter of fact, let me throw this out there. With both tests, with both of these cancers, we have a way to screen for these that is completely non-intrusive.
Yep.
So if you are completely unwilling, that's fine. Talk to your doc, tell him it's a non-starter, but that you still worry about it. There's something called a Cologuard that they just send off some stool to test. There's a blood test for the prostate. and we can monitor it that way.
Dr. Josh Carpenter is a managing medical director for OSF Healthcare St. Mary Medical Center and Holy Family Medical Center. One barrier that we hear about frequently is convenience, and people are busy. How is OSF helping to make healthcare easier for men to access?
Yeah, so they've got some great initiatives now. They've really stepped into the digital world. And so from like some, you can do tele on call.
Yeah.
There's even tele specialty visits and tele primary care visits that they're able to set you up with if that's the only option that's available to you.
Absolutely. We're talking about physical health for June, Men's Health Month. But you brought this up earlier, and I know you wanted to get into this maybe a little deeper. Mental health and men, that's another area where, you know, feelings, struggles, we don't like to talk about that because, and I'll just throw this out, it shows weakness. I don't want to be seen as weak. I want to be seen that I've got everything in control, and a lot of times we don't, and men suffer because of that.
Yeah, you know, this is such a difficult topic to approach, right? And it's hard to do succinctly as well. But what I can tell you is that I've had some curtains pulled back for me where I can kind of see behind them. And it comes through, over in Peoria, I've got, some what they call JTACs, which are, they're special forces guys that integrate in with other, special forces units, be it Army, Navy, whatever they may be. And they're calling in the airstrikes and they're doing everything that these guys do. And, what they've been able to show me and what I've been able to learn is that, with mental health, be it PTSD or whatever it is, it really is all a spectrum and it's all very similar, right? The brain, anytime that it is met with a major stressor in life. So, you know, you're talking divorces, loss of a loved one, job change, bankruptcy, buying a house. So even good things, right? So our brains take a certain amount of time to adjust, and all of these things add anxiety into our lives. We haven't necessarily as humans evolved to the point where it's innate for us to be able to, kind of address these without some help, right? Processing some of this is difficult. Where my hope is for everyone that's listening is that if we can shift the focus to where things maybe aren't where we want them to be. So, is there friction in a spot in your life? Are you showing up to work and you're not getting any joy out of work, and maybe there's a grind or there's some interpersonal conflict there that you're like, I don't know that really needs to be there. If there's something that you're not enjoying in life that you want, if you're avoiding certain circumstances, if maybe your relationship with your wife or partner isn't where you want it to be, or even with your kids, this may all be a symptom of something else that's going on that if you can address with a little bit of help, to just a process, right? So this isn't a defect. This isn't something that's wrong. This is something where if you put any human being into this situation, 90% of the time they're going to come out. There's always the 10% that like somehow it's always rainbows. And that's just human nature, right? The same thing's true of the opposite, where like you can win the lottery and you're going to have 10% of people say, well, I wish there were another 10 million there. But by and far, you stick any human being into these situations where they go through it, and they're going to need a little bit of help processing and kind of getting to that point where they're able to have those relationships. And so, that's really where I'd like people to focus, is just where are your relationships at, and are you showing up in the way that you want to?
You know, health advice can sometimes feel overwhelming. I hear what you're saying. Start small when you're looking to make changes, and it's a good advice to start small. Don't try to overhaul things all at once, right?
Yeah. So if May was a really bad health month for you, June probably shouldn't be the one where you're training for the Ironman.
Right.
But the good news is, is that you don't, you also don't have to do it that way. And really taking a focused approach to it, I think is the best way to it. And I'm guessing took a stepwise approach to your health journey to where you're now healthier than you were 6 years ago.
Right.
You know, I'd say if you were to do two things. So if you were to take an assessment of your life and you said, you know, I'm just really not where I need to be. If I were to give you two things to do, it would be monitor your sleep and work on improving that. And that may be as simple as cutting out a little caffeine in the afternoon, setting a stable bedtime every day of the week, and then start moving. So take a real assessment of where you're at. Your goal needs to be 150 minutes of moderate activity. You want to start working in some high intensity once you've done that for a while. But if you're not moving at all today, just start with 10 minutes after three meals. That's all you need to do.
Wow. That's great advice. Dr. Josh Carpenter is the managing medical director for St. Mary Medical Center and Holy Family Medical Center. As we wrap up here, you know, we talked about how men are, you know, notorious for not seeking medical help, and many of them don't even have a provider. What would you say to someone who hasn't seen a doctor in years?
It's time. This is the month.
This is the time to do it. Yeah. But yep. You're also not yep. alone, because there's a lot of guys out there who are in the same boat, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is no one's gonna when you're coming through and coming through the clinic, no one's gonna say, oh, you haven't seen a doc in 6 years and look down at you.
Right.
That's just not how this works. That's not why we're here. And really take stock of what is good in your life and why you would be doing this, and just do it.
Dr. Josh Carpenter, thank you for joining us and helping us recognize that Men's Health Month is important and the importance of preventative care. We appreciate you and your mission partners.
I appreciate it. Thank you.